Luke chapter 7, verse 36, all the way to chapter 8, verse 3. This is the reading of God's Word. Let us stand as we read God's Word together. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head. And kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A money lender had two debtors, an old 500 denarii and other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." Then she said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sin?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city to village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has already accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. O Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I've been saying every sermon, Luke, in his book, witnesses who Jesus is and what he is doing and what he is accomplishing. Jesus is the Messiah and the true Son of God, and he is accomplishing the kingdom of God. John chapter 5, verse 36, But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. And that's what you need to see as you see Jesus Christ doing all these things in the book of Luke. Through our passage today, once again, it is witness who Jesus is and what he is doing and what he is accomplishing. Thus, the passage also witnesses that eternal reality of heaven that is true of us. This is what the Bible is all about. It is about Jesus Christ, and because it is about Christ, and we are united to Christ, it is also about us. Today's passage is about a woman who comes to Jesus and anoints Jesus with the costly perfume. Even though we also see a woman who comes to Jesus and anoints him with the costly perfume in Matthew 26, also Mark 14 and John 12, we believe that, we believe that today's passage in Luke is a different event from the events in those passages. First, the location is different. Matthew, Mark, John's stories happens in Bethany, close to Jerusalem. But here in Luke, it happens in Galilee region. And in Matthew, Mark, and John, it happens at the home of Simon the leper. But here in Luke, it happens at the home of Simon the Pharisee. Even though they both have the same name, Simon, we have to conclude that they're two different people. Why? Because we know that a leper cannot be a Pharisee. That's just the rule at the time. And in Matthew, Mark, and John, the pouring of perfume over Jesus is for his burial. But that is not what we see in our passage. So we see this event that we're looking at in Luke chapter 7 is not the same event as what we might see in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 12. Anyway, let us look at our passage. Verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him, meaning Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A Pharisee invites Jesus to his house. At the time, we saw this earlier, the Pharisees were looking at Jesus with the watchful eyes. Perhaps this Pharisee also wanted to find out more about Jesus. And later we learned that this Pharisee's name is Simon. Very popular name at the time. He requested Jesus to dine with him. He invites Jesus to a meal together. So Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. At the time, as one participates in a big party, one would recline around the table. Their feet will be away from the table, and they will recline on their left side. So you could picture how they're all reclining towards this table. Then, verse 37 and 38, and there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him and at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair, the hair of her head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now he says this woman in the city who was a sinner. Luke does not tell us what sin she is guilty of. Typically, a woman, a sinner in the city, refers to a prostitute. But we don't know for sure. She stands behind Jesus at his feet. First, we need to understand that as a prostitute, coming to a house of a Pharisee at that time is an almost impossible task. She would put herself in a situation in which she would be treated very roughly and be embarrassed and scolded and be kicked out. But for her, when she heard that Jesus would be in that house, she just could not help but to come and see Jesus. Here she is behind Jesus at his feet and weeping. She wept Jesus' feet with her tears, and the word that is translated as wet is actually the word that is often used to describe raining, which means she is crying much. She wets his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair and kissing his feet, anointing him with oil, perfume. You could picture what is going on. And if Jesus is not God, then you're looking at very strange thing. And that's what people are seeing. But here, this woman is worshiping and adoring Jesus. Worshiping God who has forgiven her much sins. She really does not care whether other people would point fingers at him. It really does not matter to her what the people say or think. Embarrassment was not an issue for her. She is so thankful. So thankful to God who has forgiven her sins. And she is truly sorry for her sins. And she adores her God. She loves her God. And she's just simply worshiping her God at his feet. And verse 39, now when the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is, who is touching him, that she is a sinner. See, the Simon, the Pharisee, misunderstands the situation. And he begins to doubt whether Jesus Christ is truly the prophet, a prophet. He thinks that if Jesus is indeed a prophet, then he would know what kind of sinner this woman is, and he would stop her. He thinks perhaps Jesus is not a true prophet. He is actually thinking to himself that he is much better person than the woman, obviously. The people who think that they are righteous and superior to others often look down on the other people. They would despise those people. Simon, he begins to even dislike Jesus, who are accepting the sinner. At that, Jesus tells a parable Luke chapter 7, verse 40 through 42. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him, the money lender, more? It's not that hard to understand. Two debtors. One owes 500 denarii and the other 50. Now the lender forgives them both because they are both unable to pay. And Jesus asks, which of them will love the lender more? I mean, the answer is very obvious. So even Simon answers the question correctly. Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. Of course the one whom more is forgiven will love more. But then Jesus compares Simon with the woman. The focus of the comparison here is on who loves Jesus more, the Simon or the woman? So verse 44, turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I enter your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet and with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Comparing Simon with woman. And by what they're doing to Jesus, he's asking who loves Jesus more, Simon or the woman? You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. The question is, why so different responses to Jesus Christ? And you could see that among Christians. Even when they all worship, there's difference in degree how much they love God. How much they love God whom they worship or whom they serve. You could see that not everybody does the same thing. Just like here, Simon and the woman. Jesus gives the answer to that question. Why one loves Jesus more than the other? Verse 47. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Jesus says her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. Her many sins have been forgiven so that she shows much love for Jesus. It is not that she loved much so that her many sins were forgiven. No. It's because her many sins are forgiven that she loves Jesus more, much. Her salvation is, of course, it's not by her works. Later in verse 50, it is clearly said, your faith has saved you. It's not by works. And Jesus says, he who is forgiven little, loves little. The reason for the great love that the woman has for Jesus is that she knows how great a sinner she is and how much of her sins are forgiven by God. But the Simon, the Pharisee, believes that he is righteous. At least he is better than the woman. And compared to other people, this Pharisee, he believes that his sins are little. Oh, obviously my sins are little compared to this prostitute. So woman believes she was forgiven 500 denarii, and Simon believes he is forgiven 50 denarii. Thus Jesus says, the woman loves more than Simon. The point is not that God has forgiven one person more than the other, but the point is that the woman is more aware of her sins. Of course, sinning more is not a boast. You know, when you hear the Christian testimonials, we even see some brag about how great sinner he or she was before salvation, as if that's boasting. Just to say, you know, I receive more blessing from God than you. We're not talking about that here. But unless you know how sinful you are, your love for God will be little. If you think you're better than other people, which means your sins are much less than the other people's sin. That's all you're saying, because you think you're better than other people. And if you think your sins are little, well then God says you will love me little. This is God's word, truth. But if you really believe you are a sinner, sinner who deserves the hell forever and ever, so that your sins are so much, and you believe that God has forgiven all your sins, you will love Him more. No one is exception to this rule. So if you ever feel that you are any better than other people when it comes to sin, then you're gonna at least love God less than the person who feels he has more sins. But this woman, she knows how great a sinner she is. Verse 48, then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Again, here Jesus witnesses who he is. He is God who forgives sins. The heaven, the kingdom of God, whose citizens are who have been forgiven of their sins. It's not that citizens of kingdom of God are righteous. No, they're sinners, but their sins have been forgiven, because Jesus paid for their sins. Your sins have been forgiven, and your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See how these two phrases go together. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Brothers and sisters, you must understand. The forgiveness of sins and salvation, there is no one without the other. There is no salvation without the forgiveness of sins. And there is no forgiveness of sins without salvation. Salvation is salvation from sins. It is not the worldly salvation. It is not an economical salvation. It is not a political salvation. It is not a philosophical salvation. No! God's salvation is the salvation from sin, from this world. So if you don't believe you're a sinner, then there is no salvation. Because you're saying there is no need of forgiveness of sin for you, which means there's no need of salvation. And what kind of sinner are we? Do you really believe that you deserve the eternal punishment of hell? You know, in this world, and in God's law, the punishment has to fit the crime. See, if I just spit at the ground and I get 50 years in prison, all of you will agree with me that it's not fair. Now, how about your sins? Your sins, does that fit the punishment that God pours out? You're going to be in hell, in agony, not for billion years, but forever. So do you feel that your sins are so horrible that you deserve eternal existence in hell? Is it that bad? Or God is just overreacting here. Too much. What do you think? Because if you don't believe, I mean really believe, that you don't deserve eternity in hell, then there is no salvation for you. Why some people feel that their sins does not fit the punishment that God is pouring out? Because they don't understand who God is. And you need to understand this. And I said to you many times, like when I hit my son, slap him on the face, then I go to president and I slap him on the face. Same action. Slapping my son, slapping my, you know, my president. But the consequences are completely different. It is same action, but it's not the same. So what do you think you deserve when you hit God's face? Eternity in hell. That's what you deserve. Because He's infinite, eternal. And whatever sin that you did to God is eternal sin. Infinite sin. Because He is eternal and infinite. And once you realize how big He is and how small you are, of course, whatever sin you commit to Him, there is no end to the punishment that you deserve. It's when you think God is just your buddy, that you don't feel like you deserve eternal punishment of hell. And chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, and whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their own private means. Wow, many names of ladies you could use to name your own children. Jesus continues to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he says the 12 disciples were with him and some women are with him. And our passage says that these women contributed to Jesus' ministry out of their private means. At least three women we meet here. Mary, who was called Magdalene. Mary, who came from Magdalene. Magdalene is a small town next to the Sea of Galilee. So when you hear Mary the Magdalene, that's what it means, that she came from that town. Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Chuza was Herod's steward. This shows that even those who were much successful in this society at the time, they were following Jesus. And Susanna, she only comes out here, and there's no description of her here. So we don't know much about her. And I just like to say one thing here. Many secular people consider the Bible as a male chauvinist book that disregards females, looks down on the females, but that is not true. We see from the Bible that Jesus Christ has included many women in his ministry. And there is no woman in the Bible who has betrayed Jesus. You read it. You will not find a woman who betrayed Jesus. And you will not find woman who become an enemy of Jesus. There is none. Guys, we need to think about that. But God has put an order in the family and in the church. And God has given different functions to male and female, but this does not mean that one is superior or inferior. We see Jesus Christ obeying the Father, but we do not say Jesus, because he's obeying the Father, that Jesus is lower than the Father or inferior than the Father. Get this worldly concept out of your head. Just because you obey does not mean you're inferior. Otherwise, we have to say Jesus is inferior to Father because Jesus obeys the Father. That's the worldly thinking. You have to think according to the Bible. So when you obey, doesn't mean you're inferior. Actually, we are called to serve one another. Meaning you obey and serve the other people. This is God's way. So don't listen to this world telling you that woman is inferior. At least that's what Christians say. No, that's not what Christians say. Please, I have so much to say on this subject. Woman's right is equal to man's right. But woman's right does not include right to kill babies. It is not right to sin. That's not woman's right. Actually, Jesus refused to have any rights. Even though he was equal to the Father, he did not consider equality with the Father voluntarily. Woman, you are equal to men. Wives are equal to husbands. But voluntarily, because it is God's will, wives, you obey your husbands. Because it is to show what happens between the church and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the husband, and church is the wife. And church obeys the husband, Jesus Christ. So wives, as you obey husband, you are witnessing that heavenly reality. It's not about who is superior, who is inferior, who has more rights or who doesn't have. Man, that's not what this is all about. You know, Satan, he comes. Look at what Eve and Adam, when they were tempted, Satan comes and gives them, fills their heart with this, not satisfying with what God has done. So complaint comes in. And that's what this world will do to you. You females, you women, this world will make you complain about these things, about what God has said to you. God will, you know, Satan will say, see, God regards you less. Of course you're going to feel dissatisfied and anger even. But you got to understand what God is saying. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, when we get to heaven, there will be no distinction between man and woman. We're all going to be sons of God. We're all going to be daughters of God. That's the ultimate purpose of God. God is not saying one male is superior to woman. I need to go on. If you still have many questions on this subject, I'm like way open for you to come in and talk to me about these things. I will show you from the Bible that what the world says is not true at all. Let me end this. In our passage, we see a sinner coming out to Jesus and repents of her sins. And we must compare what she does and what we do as we repent of our sins. Do you remember Luke chapter 5 verse 8? But when Simon Peter saw that, He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The woman of our passage for today does the same thing. Verse 38, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet her feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Do you see it? Sinners, they throw themselves to the feet of Jesus. As you come out to Jesus to repent of your sins, that has to be your posture. You throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. They throw themselves completely to God's mercy and compassion. You're not coming to God as you repent, negotiating with God. Or even defend yourself in some way, and you think you're repenting. They humble themselves before God, and they are so certain how filthy sinner they are, and they are so certain how holy and righteous God is, how exalted God is. And this woman stands behind Jesus at his feet. She knows that she is not even worthy to come to Jesus. So she just stands behind at his feet. Because even though she knows she's not worthy to come to Jesus, but she had to come to Jesus. Because Jesus is the only hope. And she is so sorry. And she knows that she is not worthy for Jesus to receive. But she also knows that if Jesus rejects her, then she is as good as dead. She seeks Jesus' mercy and his compassion. Jesus, forgive my sins. Embarrassment is not, it is the least of her worries. She has no excuses. She has no terms or conditions. She has no hesitation. She does not try to hide anything, just desiring Jesus to wash her sins with his blood. This is how a sinner comes to God to repent of their sins. She throws herself away like trash that is not worth anything. She throws herself away at Jesus' feet. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us, like this woman, come to Jesus and repent of our sins completely. We must do this every day because we sin every day. Then, through God's word, through our passage, hear the loving voice of Jesus. Verse 48, your sins have been forgiven. And here also, verse 50, your faith has saved you. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as you repent of your sins, remember you have peace with God. Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? And I say to you, do you see this woman? in our passage. And I ask, do you see yourself in this woman? That's your portrait. As a sinner who comes to Jesus repenting of your sins. Do you see that woman? She has changed. She has been recreated by our God. God has cleansed of her all her sins. Do you see the new self of that woman? Not the old self of that woman, but the new self of that woman. Then again, do you see yourself in her? Brothers and sisters, all of your sins have been cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how you enjoy peace with your God? Repent of your sins completely and believe that you are no longer a slave to sin, that you have the victory over sins in Jesus Christ. I know you're going to sin more. I'm going to sin more. But what Jesus has accomplished for us will never change. His forgiveness of our sins will not be canceled just because you and I will sin more. Our sins have been forgiven. And here, Jesus' word, he says, go in peace. Yes. We have peace because of what Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And with that faith, brothers and sisters, let us witness how gracious and compassionate our God is toward us. How he has completely forgiven our sins. You know, Bible, using our language shows how much he has forgiven our sins. And we have at least two pictures. One is how far east is to west. And don't say things like, oh, earth is round, so if you go far enough, you will meet. No, no. How far east is west? That far, God has removed your sins from you. That's one picture. And the other picture is God has taken your sins and he threw behind him so that he will never see it again. That's the picture. That's how much completely, perfectly, God has forgiven your sins. Live with joy, brothers and sisters. Peace. Oh, I was so tempted to go like this, but no. Peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And because you have forgiven all of our sins, let us always repent of our sins. And Father, we thank you that your Son has paid in full the wage of all our sins. There's nothing more to be paid. And there is no punishment for our sins anymore because Jesus received all those punishments that our sins required on the cross. It is finished, he said. The paying of all our sins, paying for all our sins is indeed finished. And we praise you. give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.